Sunday, February the 9th, we have three games, very early games, an unscheduled post-game show. This wasn't going to happen, but the stars have aligned. We will get to all of the action, some injury news, and then I'll let people settle in and watch the Super Bowl. Yeah, Super Bowl, that is on today. I'm pretty sure it is. I'm obviously not an NFL fan. This is the Sunday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Come my brothers with me. Come my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume your fantasy basketball content. We are also part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. All right, only three games, so it'll be a quick one. And then I will get going, head into the office for the day. We had some injury news. The games had well and truly started by the time, well, the first game anyway, by the time I woke up. I haven't checked my lineups yet. I hope I set them all. In saying that, a lot of the players I had in my lineups either were out tonight or were out by the end of the night. The Hornets rested a lot of guys, whatever. Not really taking it seriously at this point, a lot of these teams, so just get used to it until the NBA steps in and does something about it. This is the way fantasy basketball is going to be, which is a little bit disappointing. I don't know if the league will do anything, but anyway, I'm not going to rant about it too much. So we'll talk about who was in and who was out for Charlotte when we get into the lineup there. But we did get an update from the Bucks on Giannis. So he is going to be out through the All-Star break. He had missed, I think today was his fourth game. Unlikely he plays in the All-Star game. Hopefully that frees up a spot for Trae Young or potentially LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball was also out today, but that was really just because the Hornets are being the Hornets. So we will see what happens if they do ultimately rule Giannis as unavailable for the All-Star game, whether we get a LaMelo or Trae sighting. Let's get into the games. The first game of the, well, not the evening, first game of the afternoon, the Charlotte Hornets at Detroit. Detroit get the win, 112-102, probably a little closer than Detroit would have liked against this Charlotte team. You can see there on the screen if you're watching along or if you're listening after the fact, the Charlotte lineup was weird. Let's call it weird. Miles Bridges, obviously he's been playing very well and will continue to do so because he is apparently the only one that can play more than one game in a row. He had 30 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal. Daquan Jeffries started and had 0 points in 30 minutes. That's a feat in itself. Don't add Daquan Jeffries. Seth Curry had 26 points. That's probably about 3 months' worth of production for him. Don't add Seth Curry. KJ Simpson started at point guard. 10 points, 6 assists, a steal. That's interesting enough, but we're assuming LaMelo comes back for the next game. This is the first night of a back-to-back for Charlotte, so we will assume that LaMelo comes back. Nick Smith was also out with a back injury. Again, first night of a back-to-back, so they may have just been taking things, taking a cautious approach here. So we got Tijan Salu. He played 31 minutes. Isaiah Wong had 17 off the bench. Sure. Elfrid Payton made his debut. 0 points in 23 minutes. He's not that good. Remember, he's landing 10-day contracts and then not getting re-signed. So there's a reason for that. I know he can put up numbers. He didn't here. I'm not adding him. Musa Diabate got the start but left after just 7 minutes and did not return due to an eye injury. Now, these eye injuries often can result in one or two game absences. Anthony Davis had one earlier in the season. I don't think he missed a game. So we will have to wait and see what happens here. Mark Williams was also unavailable. Obviously, they're dealing with that rescinded trade. Maybe he lines up tomorrow, but we will see. I would assume there are a lot of games tomorrow. I haven't even looked that far ahead. Let's have a look. 1, 5, 6, 7, 8. 10 games tomorrow. Okay, so streaming might be a little bit tricky tomorrow. But keep an eye on the Charlotte injury report just to see if Diabate is available, if LaMelo plays, if Nick Smith plays, if Mark Williams plays, because that changes all of this value from tonight. Reading a comment from Alex, I'll pop that up when I get to the Milwaukee game. For Detroit, Cade Cunningham returned, shot the ball poorly, but still had a triple-double with a steal and a block, 19, 10, and 12. Jalen Duren, 16 and 12 with a steal. Nice night for him against whoever Charlotte rolled out. It was a bit of Taj Gibson. They went small. So a good night for him. Asar Thompson, only 23 minutes, 16, 8, and 4, two steals. Productive. It's against Charlotte. Tobias Harris, 20 points. Didn't do a lot else, but he has obviously been playing a little bit better. Malik Beasley moved back to the bench and had 17 points with two steals. Continues his very good season. Schroeder made his debut, 15 minutes, 5 points, 3 assists. Based on that, we're not adding him. They did roll out some Ron Holland. Marcus Sasser did not get into the rotation. So we'll keep an eye on Schroeder. But at the moment, yeah, I think based on this performance, we probably don't need to roster him. There could come a point where they maybe start him over someone like a Tim Hardaway, but we're not there yet. All right, next game of the day. Philadelphia at Milwaukee. Bucks get the win, 135-127 with no Giannis. Another loss for the Sixers. Surely they're going to throw it in at some point. I don't know. I'm pretty sure their draft pick is protected. So if it falls outside the top six, they lose it, which to me, you need to tank here. Because if you finish in that play-in, you could see your pick fall inside the top six if you want to keep it, but there's a good chance that you get number 8 or 10 or something. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what Philly decide to do here post-All-Star break. Paul George, 3 steals, a block, 12 points. It's fine. You can't trade him. You just have to hold him. Joel Embiid had 27 and 12 with 6 assists, a steal and a block. So he will continue to put up numbers. It's just how healthy can he stay. He went on record, I think, with an interview with, I don't know if it was Malika Andrews, it was someone, basically Captain Obvious, saying that he needs another surgery on his knee. I mean, I think I've been saying that for however long. The two surgeries that he's had were the wrong ones. He doesn't get the meniscus fixed. He just gets almost like a Band-Aid solution so that he can play in the playoffs or play for whatever. And then it's coming back to haunt him and the Sixers now. So, yeah, I look, even honestly, a surgery is his best chance at getting back to anything close to full health, but it's certainly not guaranteed. So we will see what they opt to do with him. Tyrese Maxey had 39 points. He's been amazing this season. Very quietly, I think, because Embiid gets a lot of the attention, obviously. So, yeah, it's good to see Maxey. I mean, he's the best player on this team at this point. Kelly Oubre, roster him, 10 points, 5 rebounds, 3 steals, a block. Yabusele had 18 points off the bench. He's probably a soft hold. And then Quentin Grimes, look, the 31 minutes are encouraging. 10 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, a block. I think if you streamed him in today, I'd probably be okay with holding him and just seeing what happens. Because Paul George, he could miss a game at any point. So could Embiid. So, yeah, I don't mind holding Grimes. Chad streamed Kyle Lowry today. For those watching along, you can see it. If you're not, Kyle Lowry had 0 points, one rebound, one assist in 6 minutes. Not an ideal streaming effort there. The Bucks, Kyle Kuzma moved into the starting lineup. Bobby Portis moved back to the bench. Portis still had a really good game without Giannis, so I guess it just appears we hold Bobby Portis, even if he's coming off the bench. Kyle Kuzma, I think he played 24 minutes in that last game. 36 minutes here, 13, 8, and 5, steal and a block. I guess we have to go and add Kyle Kuzma. I say that with very little enthusiasm, but if he's going to play this many minutes and if Giannis is going to miss a few games at least, then I think we have to roster Kuzma. I'd have him over Taurean Prince. Obviously, I'd have him over Andre Jackson. Lopez had 15 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks. That's about what he's giving us. Lillard, 43 points. Gary Trent, 23 points, 3 steals, 6 rebounds, 7 threes. Probably his best game in, I don't know, this year, this calendar year. Maybe he had something better early in the season, but yeah, a nice night if you streamed in Gary Trent, and this was the day to do it because we only had 3 games. Let's check out the last one. Toronto at Houston. This was not pretty at all. Houston hang on barely, 94 to 87. Looks like a Toronto-Houston game from 1999 or something. For the Raptors, Scotty Barnes shot the ball poorly again. Pretty glad I moved him out of my lineup today because I needed field goal percentage, and I just felt like maybe he wasn't going to go off. And he had 15 points, but he shot 6 of 19, 0 of 8 from 3. He had 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. So the counting stats were good. Quickly had 20 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists in 30 minutes. So good to see his minutes back up. Mobo started. He did leave briefly, but was able to come back. 10 points, 6 rebounds, 4 blocks. Look, I think until Poeltl comes back, it seems like they're going to go with Mobo as center. He's very inconsistent, but he has a decent enough defensive floor. So if you wanted to just grab him as a desperation move for the, what is it, a 4-day week or something, then go ahead. Jacoby Walter had 10 points off the bench. Jamal shed 14 points in his 19 minutes. So it's not Chris Boucher, unsurprisingly, that they're going to. He had 4 and 7 in his 18 minutes. Orlando Robinson had 3 and 9 with a block. I'd love it to be him, but it seems to be Mobo. So I think we go Mobo over Boucher or Robinson. And for Houston, it wasn't pretty. They get the win eventually. Amen Thompson, very passive offensively, only 7 shot attempts, 8 points, but he had 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, 1 block. Dylan Brooks, 19 points on 5 of 16 shooting. Şengün, only 3 minutes. He left with back spasms and they just had to trot out a makeshift kind of a lineup. We got 24 minutes of Jock Landale, 20 minutes of Jeff Green. Cam Whitmore saw a little bit more, 11-6 with 3 steals. We got some Jay Sean Tate, Reed Shepard. So they basically just sort of sticky taped or line up together here and luckily came away with the win. Not really making any moves based on this. It was just an ugly game. They probably just wanted to get it done so they could go and watch the Super Bowl, I assume. Aaron Holiday started, did nothing. Don't add him. Tari Eason will come back for their next game, so we don't need to pay too much attention to Jeff Green, Jay Sean Tate, those guys. If Şengün misses time, I'm not sure what they'll do here. They don't really have, I mean, Adams is there, but he can't play more than about 24 minutes. He was out just ankle maintenance in this one. So he would be the stream if you need rebounds. And then it's probably Landale, I guess, is going to play the rest of those centre minutes. Depending on the opponent, they could go with Jeff Green as a bit of a small ball stretch kind of option. All right, let's get into questions very quickly, and then I will hit the road. Chad, poor Nurkic. Yeah, poor Nurkic. I don't know what's going to happen with him. He's a drop, obviously. Alex was down 200 points in ESPN. Laid your week in the hands of Gary Trent and came out victorious. Feel like I've cheated death. Fair point. Yes. Good move, though. Very good move. It's Jalen Duren creeping into elite territory. I don't think he's elite. Certainly he's much better now than he was to start the season. And I, for one, am very happy about that. Where are we? Yeah, look, I mean, if I go back to his first month, he had a couple of good games in there. But the last month has been very solid. What's his ranking? So over the last month, he is the 32nd ranked player. 14 points, 11.5 rebounds, one block, 0.8 steals, 87% from the line, 72% from the field. Now, coming into the season, I was, anyone that follows me knows I was relatively high on him. I had him as a top 50-ish target. I had him in that discussion with Mark Williams, Isaiah Hartenstein. I was taking them over someone like a Nick Claxton. I think we ended up with Walker Kessler sort of in that range as well. But to get to that rank, I was sort of the opinion that Duren, because I didn't think he's not going to be a high volume scorer. That's just not who he is. But he's a very good rebounder. He's a little bit undersized, but he reads the ball quite well. He is still very young. Remember, he is only, where is he? 21 just, I think. Yeah, he's only just 21. So he's younger than a lot of rookies. It was the defense. That's what we were looking for. So in past seasons, he's averaged sort of 1.3 to 1.5 combined steals and blocks. I said if he can get that up to 2, maybe just over, then I think he could push into the top 50 range. He's close. He's at 1.8 for the season. 1.9 over the last 2 months, 1.8 over the last 2 weeks. So he's in that range. But the free throws have been a big difference of late. For his career free throw percentage, he was 61 during his rookie season, 79 last season. For this season, he's at 68. But as I said, over the last month, he's at 87. The last 2 months, he's at 79. So if he can hover in that 80 range, then, yeah, look, I think his game is solid enough that he can float around this top 50 range. I don't think he can push inside the top 30 as an ongoing sort of option or player, just because I think that free throw percentage will sort of fluctuate a little bit. The defense will go up and down. But, no, he's certainly putting together a really nice season after a slow start. Galahad, in a dogfight to get to the playoffs, if I wanted to trade LaMelo, what kind of value should I look for? Look, he's a hard one because of the obvious... Well, obviously, he's not playing back-to-back, so, and I would assume that's for the rest of the season. I'm just bringing up his... Now, I'm arguably the highest on LaMelo. Alex Baruth is pretty high on him too. Both of us are. So for the season, he's the 34th ranked player. And that's, look, a lot of that is field goal percentage. Not that that's ever been a strength of his. Turnovers, field goal percentage. And, yeah, look, the steals are, they're fine, but they're down a little bit. It's been hard because he hasn't, again, been able to build any momentum or consistency. So in my mind, he's still a top sort of 15 player if you punt field goal percentage, turnovers, which you sort of have to do with LaMelo. So I if I was looking to move him, I mean, you have to go sort of sell him at a bit of a discount because of the missed games. I would probably aim, if you could get a third rounder, top 25, top 30 player for him, I'd probably consider that. Top 40, I don't know if I'd go that low, maybe. C Park, good morning. How do I feel about Asar versus Mata in 9-cap? Who's Mata? I should know who Mata is, should I? Mata. Tell me who that is. I should know. It's Monday morning. Yeah, Chad, I know you streamed Lowry today. Another one from Galahad. How much value do I place in quality games when deciding how to use ads for the week? A little bit, yeah. And look, it's not that hard to do. It takes 30 seconds. Like, this isn't something that needs a lot of research. So it's really just having a look at the schedule for the week. As simple as Google NBA schedule grid, RotoWire have a really good one. And it'll tell you at the top how many games are on each day. You want to look at the days when there's sort of 7 games, 8 maybe or less as a quality game day. Have a look at players that you're looking at adding and their schedules and see what nights they play on. Do they play on the high volume nights? Do they play on the low volume nights? If they've got 2 games on a low volume night, then I would absolutely consider them over someone that plays 3 games on all high volume nights. So I do pay a little bit of attention to it. Philly's roster next year, Maxi, McCain, Paul George, Yabusele, 50% of Embiid, Oubre, Council, Edwards, and the draft pick if they tank. Yeah, look, they do have a decent roster. Injuries have obviously been a big reason for their failure this season. Let's call it failure. But part of that is on them. I mean, they've invested in Embiid till 2029. And these knee injuries are not something new. So we look at the Lakers and they did their due diligence with Mark Williams. They looked at him. Obviously, they did some pretty thorough testing and opted to go say, look, no, really good fit, but we're just not going to take a chance on his health. Well, maybe the Sixers should have done that as well. When he signed, he wasn't at this point, obviously, but the writing has been on the wall with these knee injuries for years. It's not something that's popped up in the last 6 months. So, yeah, possibly they could have been a little bit more thorough there. Paul George, the finger injury was a bit unlucky. The knee injury he suffered in the preseason, I think, a little bit unlucky, but he also has an injury history. I think they're fully aware that Embiid's window of being able to actually play is not huge. And so they're trying to just throw pieces in to try and win now. Paul George was someone they saw as a difference maker, and he can be, but he's been injured. But I do wonder as well whether some of his absences have been related to the fact that Embiid is usually out. And yeah, so we'll see what they do. I'm obviously not making those decisions. What's the level of alarm with Michael Porter Jr. considering his Ben Simmons-esque history? Look, it's always there. There is always in the back of your mind with someone like Michael Porter Jr. who's had 2 back surgeries, I think, that it's going to plague him. So it's there, but he's been relatively healthy the last couple of years. So it's not nowhere near as high as it is for Ben Simmons for me. Nerdy Nerd, is Rhys Shea a hold in a 9-cat league? He's very borderline. If you need points, sure, but he's only playing 25 minutes a night and he's doing nothing other than getting you sort of 15 to 16 points. So if that's all you need, then you can, but you could get more value, I think, streaming that spot. Matt Carmody, almost lost this week because of Trent. You won by 1-3 and finished the week 5-4. Yeah, Gary Trent, eh? It's that time of year already. Is it worth trying to trade for PG? I wouldn't personally. I guess now is a good time, as good a time as any, because you can probably buy low on him. If you have any confidence in him, I don't, but now is the time if you wanted to do it. So looking at offering Beal and Vassell for PG, I probably wouldn't. I think he's too injured. Okay, where are we? All right, another one from C Park. How do I feel about Bilal Coulibaly rest of season? He's hurting me in different cap per game, but he seems to be a hold even in an 18 league. Yeah, look, he is one of these players that I think is a hold, but is going to hurt you in certain categories. His offensive game is much better than it was. I'm not going to say he's polished offensively, but he's better. I mean, you look at his last few games, 17, 16, 11, 26, 14, 6, 8, 16, 12. It's very up and down. The field goal percentage ranges from anywhere from, I mean, he shot 16% in a game all the way up to what he had back-to-back 56% games. It's pretty inconsistent. I think when all is said and done, he's probably going to end as like a top 120 player. But he typically does enough across the board. The defense is relatively consistent. He had a triple-double randomly. I think he's a hold. In a top eight league, maybe not. That's probably where I would consider dropping him. 10-team leagues, pretty close. 12 teams, yeah, he's a hold. All right, Shining Knight, should you avoid Lowry as well? Yeah, well, yes. I mean, he's not going to play back-to-backs. If you're looking for quantity of games, I wouldn't go after Lowry. Chad, to clarify Fantasy Elite. So you're talking about Duran there, Fantasy Elite. Yeah, I still don't think he gets to Fantasy Elite. At least not yet. Not yet. Maybe in 2-3 years he could, but I don't think we're there quite yet. Okay, so the reason C-Park is asking this is because your in-laws are Wizard fans, seem to be down on Bilal and Bub, but they like Keyshawn George. Bub, I can see. I could see being down on Bub. Bilal, yeah, look, I'd be as high on Bilal as I am on Keyshawn George. I'd be higher on both of those guys than Bub, obviously. But, yeah, look, I mean, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. And just because you're down on someone or you don't think they're a good player doesn't mean they're not a good fantasy player. We have a lot of examples of players that aren't good real-life players, but they put up numbers in fantasy. Pods or Scoot in a 9-cat head-to-head league? Ooh. That's pretty close. I might go Scoot just. Yeah, I'm not convinced on Pods yet on his role. It has looked much better of late. Scoot, at least we know we're only going to get 25 to 30 minutes. Pods, I think Scoot can do a little bit more in less time and has a bit more upside, but maybe Pods is slightly safer despite the uncertainty. I don't know, it's pretty close. I'd probably, if I need assists, I'd go Scoot. If I don't really need assists, I'd go Pods. Chad, confused what you should do in old man squad. Practically unbeatable, but your roster is practically a hospital. Is that in the Dynasty League? Just let me know if that's the Dynasty League. Galahad, would I add Grimes over Max Strus? I probably would. What's my rest of season outlook for Jackson Hayes, Chris Middleton? Middleton's not great. I don't think he plays a lot. I think he'll be there, but, I just don't think they're going to prioritise him or showcase him or anything like that. Hayes is interesting. my rest of season opinion on him could be very different in a week, depending on what the Lakers do. I think they need to find a center on the buyout market. So for now, I would have Jackson Hayes over Chris Middleton, only because of what he can get you. He's very efficient. He'll get blocks. He gets rebounds. Middleton, even when he was playing for the Bucks, he was sort of a top 100, top 120 player. I think Hayes could be top 70 just because he's elite. Well, not elite, but above average in those low-volume categories. But like I said, if they get a center, then he probably falls off the radar completely. Cookie Monster, it is very sad about, Mark Williams. This is certainly possible. I thought about this straight away, the fact that with everything that happened and his reputation was somewhat tarnished here, I think people, just widely speaking, you're going to go, oh, is this guy just washed and he can't play anymore? And that would then almost sort of make him come in with a chip on his shoulder now and something to prove. Do Charlotte just let him go? And not let him go as in trade him or something, but just let him, okay, you're starting, play 30 minutes, off you go, let's see what you can do. There's a chance of that, but Charlotte being Charlotte, I still don't think he plays back-to-backs or anything like that. I haven't listened to Josh's yet. I guess I'm sort of that same opinion. I think I talked about this on my show yesterday I think I did. The fact that I don't think they found an injury as such. I reckon when they were doing their testing, they found precursors for injuries. And they basically just said, we don't want to take a chance here. So I would hope that the Lakers, just to help Mark Williams, would come out and say something like that. Look, no, we don't. There was nothing sort of too detrimental. It was just, there were just some red flags and we were a little bit concerned. It's not to say he can't stay injury free and have a really good NBA career. I think it would be help him if they came out and said something like that. I don't know if they will. Until we actually get some clarity on what happened, and if that happens, then it's all speculation. Buzelis. Oh, that was a question. Where was that question? Assar versus Buzelis. Okay. Probably Buzelis, I think. Picked up Jackson Hayes. Is he worth holding for now? In your league, pretty borderline, but yeah, in most spots. What are my projections for Collier, Koulibaly, Suggs in a points league? I would go, if I was going ordering them, I'd probably go, they're all better in category leagues. That's pretty close, actually. I think Suggs has the highest upside, but he's doubtful again. This injury is just a little bit concerning. Koulibaly and Collier's roles are very secure, I think, at this point. So I might go Collier, Koulibaly over Suggs. But if Suggs can get healthy, I'd probably put him first. Do we think there is any chance that Len doesn't go to the Pacers and ends up with the Lakers? There's a chance he doesn't go to the Pacers. I don't think the Lakers would be interested in him, though. Shout out to Mobo. Secured top seed heading into the playoffs. Very good, Mac Attack. Isn't it a weird time of year when Jonathan Mobo is winning us things? Do I reckon a trade for DeRozan while giving up Beal and Vassell is where I'm so for an underpay? So giving up Beal and Vassell for DeRozan or an underpay. I don't think it's an underpay for DeRozan. I think, if anything, it's an overpay in my mind. Slightly. DeRozan, I don't think he's that great. I think it's fair. It's fair enough. if you're just really trying to get off Beal and Vassell, which I think you are, DeRozan's pretty solid, like pretty consistent kind of top 50 player. We know who he is. The addition of Zach LaVine hasn't really impacted him too much. He's not the player he was. Just remember that. He's not that top 30, top 40 player. He's more of like top 50 best case. So I'd probably have him closer to top 60, which isn't significantly higher than Vassell or Beal. Dynasty League. It is the Dynasty League. Okay, so you're down OG, Russ, Case, and Ant, and then have an army of Hart, Collins, Cam, Dort, Dunn. Yeah, look, Dynasty League's hard. Waivers are pretty empty in that league. So, yeah. Look, I'll tell you, you should pack it in, shut it down, because that'll help me, won't it? I think I'm still relatively competitive in that league, despite the fact that I'm dealing with a couple of injuries as well. Draymond or Io? I'd prefer Io, I think there. Draymond looked better yesterday, but yeah, I'm not a Draymond guy, so I'd probably go Io to Sumu. Just they're relatively similar in what they do, so I'd go him. All right, time for me to go to work. Let me get that comment off the screen. Need that there. All right, thank you everyone for listening. So obviously no post-game show later. We were able to squeeze it in now, which was good. There will be a pre-game show tomorrow, normal sort of time. You should be pretty back to normal this week, I think. Obviously with the All-Star break coming up this weekend, I'm definitely not going to do two shows a day. I might do one show a day. It will sort of depend on the news. I might just do a mailbag show as well. So it might be that rather than our normal sort of, well, probably post, I don't know what time I'll do them, but I'll probably do one show a day, and maybe I'll do some themed kind of shows, like some stash. Well, we're not really stashing as much anymore, but late season targets, yeah, mailbag, silly season kind of targets. I don't know. I'll come up with some topics. I might even pop something out on Twitter and just get some people's thoughts on what content they might like to see for the week when All-Star break is happening. There will be a week in 2 weeks, I think, when I may not be able to do a show for about a week. I have to travel for work. I will take a laptop with me. It will just depend on the internet connection and, yeah, time and that sort of thing. So it might just be that I can do one show a day from my little hotel room by myself. But we'll see. We'll see how we go. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Please go and download the episodes and go and give us a like over on YouTube and follow along on Twitter and that sort of thing. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch ya.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at FBIBasketball.com.